God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Love you. God bless you. Okay. I'm talking to the heroes of tomorrow. You guys. You guys, if you get it right, you will see millions of people saved and possibly hundreds of thousands of churches started. If you get three things at least right: right strategy, right tools, and right people to disciple. Faithful men are the critical people in this world to extend the gospel. And I believe that you people are faithful men. You have given up some things to come to college, to learn specialized knowledge about soul winning, Bible teaching, church planting. And God says, them that honour me, I will honour. You have honoured God, and God will honour you. I am an old man, 65 this year, and I've seen a lot of things happen, and I've discovered if you go the extra mile for Jesus Christ and soul win, Bible teach, and seek to plant churches and encourage believers, God will take care of your other problems. Amen? I've seen it. And I know it works, but you will find times when things will not go as you would like them to, but you stay faithful to your church and you will learn lessons in the tough times that you can use in the good times. And just because you have a bad day, don't quit, keep going. If I had quit, I've pastored this church for 34 years. No point going anywhere else. I know everybody in the church, they know me. We are a team, we work together. And it's not so greener on the other side of the fence. So stick with where God calls you, unless he calls you elsewhere. Like to have a word of prayer first, shall we? Let's pray for God's blessing here. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we love you so much. We thank you for working in our lives, bringing us to this point. Take us further, Lord, for you, so we can all have a mighty impact on the world for Christ, so that you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Show us what to do, how to do it, and be convinced of why we should do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Who was here Sunday night at church? Pretty much all of you? Okay. I was able to give the first three steps of our Islamic presentation. Okay. I hope that made sense. I hope that you understood that. If you did not get everything, don't worry, because praise God, I got my 10th book on the that's coming tomorrow. Okay, this is a book called Questions. The original title was Questions for Muslims, but my printer is in India, and he said to me, I cannot print a book with that title. I said, why? He said, because there will be riots in the streets, because Muslims don't like being asked questions. So he said, you've got to change the title. I said, okay, I'll change it to Questions, and maybe that'll arouse some curiosity. But it's actually Questions for Muslims, Atheists, Evolutionists. Okay, chapters 40 onwards is for the atheists, evolutionists, but chapters 1 to 39 are about Muslims. Now, I want to suggest that Islam is a terrible problem in the world today, particularly for the victims of terrorism, but also for the perpetrators of terrorism, and the so many people who are brought up in the Islamic world who cannot get out of the mental prison that Islam has put them in. And this is a specialized skill that has to be learnt if we are to evangelize the world, because Muslims are seeking to convert as many as possible to their evil satanic ideology, and we have to know how to counter them. And I've studied all the possible ways that I've come across, and there's only one way to win Muslims to Christ. You first must destroy and discredit and deprogram their thinking and their minds of the Quran, Muhammad, Allah, and Islam. And when you've done that, you have to implant the truth of Jesus, who Jesus is, and how to be saved. And they have to. And Islam tells their people, Christians are the worst blasphemers because we say that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Quran says in 6 verse 101, how can Allah have a son when he has no girlfriend? Well, the answer to that question is because Muhammad did not know Greek. If Muhammad knew Greek, he would never have become a Muslim, okay? Because he would have understood what Son of God means. And so Greek is a subject which is, don't diminish Greek. It's a subject that's good to learn. Do you learn some Greek here sometimes? A little bit? Okay. Just enough to get by. You don't need to be the best in the world. Just enough to get you by. But it helps you a lot in doing the things that you need to do. Okay. I want to just give you a moment or so to explain the sheets that you've got and the strategy that God has given me. Just think about, if you're looking at the mission field, which is everywhere, both USA and overseas, you will conclude that there are three main groups of people that you are needing to work with. The first group of people is unsaved people. Let's have a look at this tract here. See this one here? It's called Stop. This is, I only use one gospel tract. Now, maybe other people can use different ones, but I found there's only one tract that I can use, and this is more than just a give-out type tract, it's a visual aid. I ask 120 questions with this tract, and the questions that I ask are on the other sheet. Can you see the other sheet? How to lead a person to Christ. Do you have that sheet? Okay, I would recommend that you memorize that, because that will allow you to lead the toughest people to Christ. Okay? Because there's a rule of soul winning I've discovered, and it's called DUA. D means getting the lost person to discover the truth by asking him the questions to read the verses, and U means understanding. Ask him to tell you what he thinks the verse means, and then to tick off if he agrees with it. Now, I don't have time to go through and explain this, although when I go to the mission field, this is the first thing that I teach when I teach in pastors' conferences and Bible colleges. And this is so powerfully important, this how to lead a person to Christ with Stop. This is in 32 languages, praise God. It's on our church website, which is on the very back of this Stop tract at the bottom of the back. See there? Go to the back page of the Stop tract, look at the bottom of the page. You'll see libertybaptistchurch.org.au. You can go to that website and you can click on Stop Tract and you can download any one of 32 languages of the Stop Tract. January last year, 2016, I did an experiment. God laid something on my heart to go to India. I have three great contacts in India, David Gerald, Vijay Jayasekhar, plus others as well. But these people are very well connected, and they've organised about 22 pastors' meetings and Bible colleges for me to teach at, and I taught them step one, how to use the Stop Tract, how to lead a person to Christ, because I said to them, how many of you people have led a person to Christ last month? And about 5 out of 200 raised their hands. I said, how many led a person to Christ last 12 months? And maybe about 20 out of 200 raised their hand. And I thought, well, I think there's something that's not getting through to these students. And many students graduate from Bible colleges in India and Australia and I guess around the world, and they have never led a person to Christ. And that's a very major problem in the third world. So I thought about this and I said, not only must I become a good soul winner, but I must train a new generation of soul winners to lead people to Christ in a biblical, complete, thorough, effective and professional way. And the Stop Track method is so powerful because it works. And I've been doing this since 1965. How many years is that? 52 years of sharing the gospel, eh? Do you think I learned something out of that time? Do you think I learned what works, what doesn't work? What you've got in this sheet and in the instruction sheet is what really works. And you get the person involved, go word for word what's in the instruction sheet, and you'll see the hardest people saved. And I taught this in the colleges, and I gave out answers books. Well, it's a pity we don't have one here, because I gave one away yesterday, my own copy away yesterday. They're on the my book table at the back of the church. And you are very well, I would strongly suggest you get that. Honestly, that book is worth at least $2 million. That's what it's cost me to print that book, and to study it, and to buy the books that have produced that, and if you add up all the hours it's taken to write that book and to print that, and that's what you're looking at. And so you will tap into 52 or more years of experience as to what works in a church, what does not work. You go into the ministry, you're going to have problems. That has answers to almost every problem. Went to India, I taught this to 2,200 attendees in about 20 meetings, and after 6 months David Gerald rang me and says, guess what, the people who came to the conferences, they report to me that they've led 200, that they have started 250 churches. I says, you're kidding. I've never heard such a thing in all my life. How did that happen? He said, well, they used a stop tract and they used the answers book and they had the knowledge and confidence to start a church. And then before I came, David said, guess what? Now they've started 335 churches. Wow. I said, this is unbelievable. I said, why is it so? Because you've got three things working. You've got the right strategy, got the right tools, got the right people. And these are the right people, and you're the right people, because you're keen, you've got a lot of zeal, your knowledge is increasing, and I will give you, in these answers books, and here, a lot of the knowledge that will shortcut your path to high productivity in the Christian life. And then Vijay told me the people who came to the Hyderabad conferences started 132 churches. That's 467 churches started in India for 18 days of work on my part. And about $2,000 invested for books. Answers book, who's got Answers book here? Okay, look, honestly, everybody, I promise you, get an Answers book. There's 107 in the library. They're only $25 each, but please get it. It will save you so many problems because you lead a person to Christ and they get pinched by some other church. And they will come across heretics and you have to answer the heretics. And Calvinism is an evil, satanic philosophy. I hate it with a passion. And I don't let... there's a chapter there, about 90 pages on Calvinism. Read it. Okay? It's very, very thorough and it'll refute. I'm heading off to the Philippines in April to confront and deal with a whole lot of churches and Bible colleges who've been sucked into this insane thinking. Heresy of Calvinism. And thankfully, Answers Book's got it. And it's a very simple, concise refutation of Calvinism that I recommend you read a couple of times. And if you're lazy, you can read the summary in the 15 pages in the back of the chapter. Okay, so when a person gets saved, this gets them from being unsaved to saved. When they're saved, they are what you call a new or baby or untaught Christian. You want to get them to become a serious Christian. Is that correct? How do you do that? You give them this book here. This is a little simple, it's a simple little booklet. If you were to write out all the things that you think a new Christian should know, they would be in here. So when I lead a person to Christ, this is how I get my first follow-up Bible study and get them into church. This took me 40 years to work out. And this is so powerful. I give them this little booklet and I say to them, look at the table of contents. And I ask the question, which of these subjects interests you, Mr. New Christian? He looks down the list and he ticks off a few of them, like angels or heaven or nature of God. Then I ask question two, would it be possible for us to get together sometime in the next few days to have a look at them? And they say, yes. Question three, when would suit you? He says, Friday, 7:30. Okay, your place okay? Yep, see you then. Right here? And I go there to his place and guess what I find? I find three or four friends there. And I say, what do I do? The Bible study or the soul winning? What would you do? Soul winning, absolutely. So I say to his friends, oh, hi, how are you? How are you? What's your name? My name is Muhammad. Ah, hello, Muhammad. How are you? What do? I think what I started off on Sunday night. I have a question for you. You know the sun in the sky? How it rises in the east, sets in the west? Do you think the sun sets in a spring of water? No. Well, in Muhammad's time, no one knew where the sun went. Muhammad said he's a prophet. And people said, if you're a prophet of Allah, tell us where the sun goes. And he said, either you could say, I don't know, or guess. And he guessed. And in the Quran, he said, the sun sets in a spring of water. And this proves Muhammad's a false prophet. Quran's a false book. Allah's a false God. And Islam's a false religion. And you can throw it all in the rubbish tin, say bye-bye, Islam, and have a happy life. Amen. And that works. You do it. And in this book here, it's available, so they tell me, tomorrow. It should have been available a week ago, but the printer sent these books by air freight via a Muslim cargo company. Okay. I don't have a lot of control over which cargo company he uses, and it was a good company until this cargo was shipped. Okay, so these are free as of tomorrow, if assuming what they say is correct. So this has got the full Muslim presentation, chapters 1 to 8, plus other information to refute the difficult Muslims. When you come to the person's place, you can lead them to Christ, but then you have a Bible study, you can go through the whole lot of this if you wish. There's six diagrams, and this makes them a serious Christian, gets them into church, and then they become when they're a serious Christian, they want to learn how to win souls and teach the Bible and become a pastor. How do you do that? Answers book. Get them from the library and either give it to the person, or he may even pay you for it. Sometimes you've got to invest in other people. When they don't appreciate the value of something, you have to give it to them until they work out how good something is. And the Answers book produces pastors, strong professional soul winners, Bible teachers, and church planters. That's the kind of the fourth person we want in this chain. And so you do this and you will multiply disciples. You can't win the world to Christ yourself on your own. You need a team. You need to multiply Bible truth, soul winners, and churches, fundamental churches. And a lot of the Filipino pastors who have this say, the Answers book, they say, this book got me in the ministry and it kept me in the ministry. Because of the heretics that came around to our church, the charismatics, the Calvinists, the modern version crowd, this book refuted all those heresies and kept our people from leaving and having a church split. Anyone ever has a church split in America? Has that ever happened in this country? Happens in Australia. And then we got this little one, Two Catholics Who Love Jesus Christ. This is what we print up and give out to Catholics, and it fully refutes the Catholic position. It's a summary of the Answers Book chapter. We have Answers Book volume number 2, Understanding. Got 300 preaching chapters, messages, fantastic Bible messages. Oh, there's something I'd like to talk about, but I don't have time. This little here, oh dear. Who knows what the name Jehovah means? Anyone know what the name Jehovah means? We know it's God, don't we? There's a little chart here on page 1485. It's got the Hebrew alphabet. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a symbol. And Jehovah is in the Hebrew J-H-V-H. What does each of these letters mean? J, see if you can work it out. What does Jehovah God mean? J means hand. Right, if you just keep that in your mind. J means hand. H, the second letter, means look at. Hey, look at. Get the idea? V means nail. V means nail. And H means look at. Can we put that into a sentence now? J-H-V-H. J means hand. H means look at. J means hand. H means look at. V means nail. H means look at. So what's the sentence say? Hand, look at. Nail, look at. Let's say it again. Hand, look at. Nail, look at. Anyone know what that means? Look at the hand. Jehovah God, his name means look at the hand. Look at the nail. Do you know anybody who had a nail put in their hand? Jesus. That's the name. That's the meaning of Jehovah God. Is that interesting? You like that? I think it's incredible. Amazing. So that's one section in there. And there's a little one here called Bible College Assignment Questions. This has got 5,000 assignment questions. If you go somewhere, you can start a Bible college in the third world with this little book that relates to Answers Book. Okay, what I want to do this morning is look at the steps 4, 5, 6 of the Muslim presentation. They're on this sheet here, okay? If you can pull this sheet up. Okay, remember how Sunday night we saw step 1 is mistakes in the Quran. Got that? Mistakes in the Quran, major errors in the Quran. We've seen that Sunday night. If you're here, if you're not here Sunday night, go to YouTube and go to Answers Course. Answers Course, C-O-U-R-S-E, and look at lessons 1, 2, and 3. It's me explaining every step of lessons 1, 2, and 3. One is mistakes in the Quran. Number 2 is Jehovah and Allah the same God, which is on the reverse side of this sheet? And the answer is no. And then we did lesson 3 last Sunday night, Allah, Satan, Jehovah, compared. And now we're going to do number 4. What we have done, I'm going to give you, dear gentlemen, this sheet, if I may. Please come and take this, can you, Brother Bushy? Take them, if you would, please, and give one to each of the gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
You must. Okay, now, what we've done is we've got the Muslim out of Islam, but now we've got to get them into Christianity. Now, the leaders of Islam say Jesus is not the Son of God. So how do we answer this question? Because that's in their mind. And how do we show that Jesus is the Son of God? This is something that pretty much no Muslim understands, so we're going to explain it right now. This is the only way that I've found to explain the Son of God. And this is what I say. In the English language, we have only one word for son, which is a little boy coming from his mum or dad. Okay? But the New Testament was written in which language? Greek. And in Greek, we have two words for son. First word is technon. Technon means a little boy coming from his mum and dad. Now, if you look up Strong's Concordance under the word son, in the back, you'll find that not once do you see Jesus is never called technon, son of God. Not once. Never the little boy of God. Why? Because God doesn't have a girlfriend, as the Muslims think. They're totally wrong in making that conclusion. They say, how can Allah have a son when he has no girlfriend? Because Jesus is not a technon son of God. But in Greek, there is a second word for son, and that is the word huios, H-U-I-O-S. Huios, and this means same nature as. Huios means same nature as. Example, if I say you are a son of peace, I'm saying you have the nature of peace. If I say Adolf Hitler is a son of war, I'm saying Hitler has the nature of war. If I say that some politicians are sons of lying, do you have any people like that in America? Oh, I do. Yes, yeah, every sons of lying mean we're saying they have the nature of telling lies. Is that right? Some of them can't help telling lies. It's just their nature. So they're a son of lying. And so when we say Jesus is, in the Bible you've got Barnabas as a son of consolation. And Judas was son of perdition, and some people are children of disobedience. And Jesus, when he's called, all those are huios. Okay? Jesus called the Son of God, he's called the huios of God. It means that Jesus has the full 100% same nature as God. You like that? And the Muslim says, wow, I never knew that. Well, now you do. Okay. And you know more than your imam or mullah. So Jesus is the huios, same nature as God. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. So what does only begotten mean in the Greek? Well, let's see what the Greek word is. It's monogenes. We break that up into two words. Mono, meaning one, like the monorail travels on one rail, and genes. Genes means genetics. Each of us have about 23,600 genes in every cell of our body. We have one gene for hair colour, another gene for skin colour, another gene for eye colour, another gene for every aspect of our nature. Fingers, toes, kidneys, heart, lungs, liver, every detail is controlled and specified by genes, okay? Now, when it says that Jesus is the monogenes of God, it's saying that Jesus, mono, one, genes, genetics, as God. He's got one and the same genetics as God. He's one and the same, absolutely identical to God in every detail. He's the same as God in every detail. Ooh, that's what monogenes means. Only begotten means he's the same as God in every detail. Every single detail, without exception, he's absolutely 100% identical to God in every single detail. And huios means he's got the same nature as God. You like that? And the Muslims think, ooh, never knew that before. Amazing, isn't it? So, if Jesus is the huios, same nature as God, and he's monogenes, only begotten Son of God in every detail, that is saying that Jesus Christ is God, correct? Okay, but that leads us to another question. Next question, we've seen the fourth one in the series. Now we look at lesson number 5. This leads us to the next question, how can Jesus Christ be God? No Muslim understands this. A lot of Christians don't understand it either. And so how do we... We all believe the Trinity. Amen? Yeah, that's good. We're on the same team here. We all believe the Trinity. But there's a lot of Christians who say, oh, the Trinity is a mystery. Well, to them it may be because they haven't been taught the Bible very well. But it's not a mystery. It's one of the simplest concepts in the world to understand and to teach. And I found there's only one way to teach the Trinity, and we're going to look at it right now. But let me ask you first of all a question. Which verse in the Bible is the very best verse to teach the Trinity? Let's have anyone got a suggestion? Hand up if you think you know. You got an idea? Have you and I had a conversation yesterday? Well, you're not included in this. Sorry. Well, anyone think which is the best verse on Trinity? Okay, well, want to guess? Yes? That's a good one. That's a very good one, but there's a better one. I mean, one that never gets a problem in the other side. Which one? That's a good one, but there's a better one. I'll tell you. It's Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You all know that verse? I'm sure we do. So we have to ask a few questions to the Muslim about this verse. Question one. Baptize them in the name. The word name, is that singular, meaning one, or is it plural? Singular? Yes. If it was plural, it'd be names, wouldn't it? And if it was names, you'd have three gods, wouldn't you? But it's not names, so we don't have three gods. We have name, meaning there's one God. I say to the Muslim, you believe in one God, and we Christians believe in one God. So that makes him calm down a bit. Okay? So, but the Bible teaches that the one God has three parts. Anyhow, before we get onto that, remember in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. This is saying that there's something similar between the makeup of man and the makeup of God. Okay? What might that be? In what way is man and made in the image of God? Well, Mr. Muslim, I would like you to think about yourself for a minute. They're very good at doing that, as we all are. I say, think about yourself. That never gets an objection. I say, you are one man, okay? But you have three parts. Number one, on the sheet, left-hand side, see the circles? Number one, you have a body. Nobody ever argues with that one. We all have a body. That's pretty easily understood. And your body, it allows you to communicate with the world. It gives you world consciousness. It allows you to see the world, hear the world, smell the world, taste the world, touch the world. Your body is the part of you that allows you to communicate, interact, or interface. Interface is a very good word with the world. Agree? And your body is 100% human. Agree? Everyone agrees that. The most radical Muslims agree with that. Number two, you've got a soul. Your soul includes your mind that you think with, your emotions that you feel with, and your will that you choose with. And your soul gives you self-consciousness, right? Why do you know that you exist? Because you've got a soul. It gives you self-consciousness. And your mind and emotions recommend to your will what to do. Your will carries out the intentions of your mind and your emotions. So your soul is also 100% human, but it gives you self-consciousness, whereas your body gives you world consciousness. Does that make sense? Very good. Number three, you have a spirit, and your spirit gives you God consciousness. Your spirit is your God detector, just like your mobile phone picks up mobile phone signals. My little girl hijacked my phone and put a picture of herself on it. So your mobile phone picks up mobile phone signals and your spirit picks up God signals. You like that? Your spirit does two things, at least two things. It gives you, number one, an awareness of that there is a God. And number two, it gives you moral values, a moral sense of what is right and what is wrong. Correct? Okay, and your soul, your spirit is also 100% human. Agree? So you now are one man, but you have three parts. Your body, soul, spirit. Each part 100% human in one human. You are a trinity, three in one. Pretty good? And that's confirmed in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I pray God preserve your holy spirit and soul and body. Terrorists brought their chief debater up. There's terrorists in Sydney. and I debate them. They can't answer any of this, so they brought their chief Muslim debater up from Melbourne to talk to me. And he said to me, where's this in the Bible? And I said, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Oh, shut his mouth. He debates ignorant Christians. Anyhow, so you are one man with three parts. You are a trinity. Now, I give you two illustrations to make this very clear in preparation for the second part of this. Question one, what is the difference between a man and a pig? What's the difference between a man and a pig? Some people might say not much, but no. That I wouldn't say that. But sorry, guys. That's a joke. Sometimes when you get the Muslim to laugh, they're on your side, okay? Okay. The man, difference between a man and a pig, well, a man has a body and a pig has a body, correct? A man has a soul, self-consciousness, and a pig has a soul or self-consciousness. A man has a spirit, God consciousness, but a pig does not have a spirit, does it? Mr. Muslim, do you ever see a pig walk into the mosque and tell the mullah, I want to pray to Allah? He says, nah, get out of here, you haram hook, you haram pig. Okay, oh, by the way, do you know what Lucifer's name is? Oh, this is scary. I don't mention this in the Muslim, but I'm telling you guys. Lucifer, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Does anyone know what the Hebrew word for Lucifer is? Halal. Halal. Halal, as in halal food. Food dedicated to Allah. You've heard of halal food? Yes? Halal food. Lucifer's, that was his name before he fell. Interesting, isn't it? Lucifer's name before he fell was halal. The Muslim, and everything good for Islam is halal. Everything bad is haram. That tells us that Allah is Satan, isn't it? Pretty clear. Frightening stuff. Okay, so a pig has no spirit, but a man has a spirit. Okay, second illustration. When we are asleep in bed in the morning, the alarm clock goes ring, ring, and our... been there, done that. And our soul tells our body, get out of bed and go to work or go to Bible college. And your body says, no, no. I want another hour in bed. And your soul says, no, I'm boss. You get up out of bed and go to work or go to college or you will be in trouble. And your body says, oh, okay, rightio, okay, you're boss, I get up and I'll do what you want. Is that right? Now, that is a beautiful illustration of something we're going to see in a minute. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say, how can Jesus be God when he prayed to God? Does God talk to himself? I say, do you talk to yourself? When the alarm clock goes off every morning, your soul tells your body, get up out of bed and go to work. You like that? Oh, I'll tell you a joke. Oh, this is a true story. About 5 years ago, I was doing my tax returns, a terrible experience. and I got the phone rang, and I got this guy from Jehovah's Witness headquarters in New York ring me up and say, can I speak to Keith Piper, please? Yeah, that's me. What's your problem? And he says, I want you to take off your website the Jehovah's Witness chapter. I said, why would you want me to take off our libertybaptistchurch.org.au or answersbook.org the Jehovah's Witness and Trinity chapter? Why do you want that taken off? He says, well, in our Bible college here, we have lost a lot of students because of that chapter. That's a true story. And I said, look, well, which particular parts don't you like? And he says, lots of it. And I said, well, show me. And he went through it. And I led him on up the garden path, and which sometimes I do to evil people. And so anyhow, I said, look, I'm not inclined to take it off. Anyhow, lo and behold, he rang me back another week's time. And he was a bit more angry with me. And then he rang me a third time. I said, look, I'm not taking it off. And he was so angry with me. And he said, look, you're causing a lot of problems to our students. And I said, well, that's the point of it. I like that. Okay, so something's happening out there. Praise God. Now let's look at the Trinity. You are one man with three parts, and there's one God. But the one God has three parts. Remember, baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, looking at this chart, as you have a spirit who is 100, which is 100% human, and that gives you moral values, so God has a spirit called the Holy Spirit, who is 100% God, who makes God a moral being, makes God have a very strong sense of what is right and what is wrong. Do you understand that? If God didn't have a spirit, he could be a monster, like some evil people, but he has a spirit which makes him a highly perfect, moral, holy being. Pretty good, eh? Then, number two, this is critical. This is the key part. As you have a body which is 100% human that allows you to communicate with the physical universe, so God has something like a body. God has something like a body which allows God to communicate with the physical universe and allows God to visit people in the physical universe. Because you think about it, if God came to earth in his infinite power and glory, what would happen? Kaboom, he'd blow us all up, which would be very bad from our point of view. So God has a part of him which allows God to interface with people in the world and communicate with people without blowing us up. And that's called the huios. Okay? Now, the Muslims have not read much of the Old Testament and they have not understood it. But if you look in the Old Testament, you will see many, many times how Jehovah God appeared to people. Remember that? Okay? And in this book, there's a chapter on this where it gives you a whole lot of examples where Jehovah God appeared to people on about 49 occasions. And it's worth looking at that chapter, but we won't look at it now. It's chapter number 11, okay? There we go. It's a list of about 49 examples of Jehovah God appearing to people. And so Jehovah God visits people in the physical universe to comfort people, to teach people, or to protect them. And sometimes Jehovah God appears in the Old Testament as a fire, like Moses at the burning bush. That was Jehovah God in the burning bush, wasn't it? And sometimes he appears as an angel. The word angel is not a created angel, but the root meaning is messenger, or one who goes out. And you will find many, many parts of the Old Testament, New Testament, where God has a part of him that goes out, or goes forth, or is sent. Jesus, the Father, sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And John 6:46 is a fascinating verse. Jesus Christ said, "Not that any man has seen the Father." Really? Well, if no man has ever seen the Father, who did Old Testament people see whom they worshipped as Jehovah God? If it's not the Father, who is it? Who is it? It's Jehovah God the Huios, Jehovah God the Son, who visited people in the earth in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, so the Huios is a part of God that goes out from God to visit people in the physical universe. And he is also 100% God. And as you have a soul that tells your body what to do, so God has something like a soul called the Father who tells the Son what to do. And the Son does it. Okay? Right, so as you are one man with three parts as a Trinity, so there's one God with three parts and God is a Trinity. Now, in the back of this book here, this book you can pick up hopefully tomorrow or Sunday. The timing was terrible, but in the back of this book you have a little chart, and I think it's good if you can just look at this later when you get a copy. They're all free. You've got here the Huios is a part of God that appeared to Adam. Remember how Jehovah God walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden? Adam heard the voice of Jehovah God in the Garden of Eden, walking in the Garden of Eden. Jehovah God the Son walked with Adam every day in the Garden of Eden. Surely you'd think he could have asked God to check out the serpent with the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Always check with a spiritual leader before you go doing something questionable. But also Jehovah God the Huios appeared to Abraham and Lot. Jehovah in 2000 BC. Jehovah God the Huios appeared to Moses many, many times. such as the burning bush. Jehovah God, the Huios, appeared to David about 1000 BC and to Solomon, appeared to Solomon twice, and he appeared to three Jews in the fire. Here on the back cover, we have this very nice picture. Remember how King Nebuchadnezzar threw three Jews in the fiery furnace? And he said, didn't we put three in the fire? But I see four, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The NIV says, a son of the gods. Filthy NIV, I hate it with every bone in my body. It's an evil book. And David Gerald printed 10,000, he gave out in India, 10,000 of my book series on missions NIV to Christian bookshops and Bible colleges, and whole masses of bookshops and Bible colleges threw the NIVs out of their bookshops and Bible colleges and churches. And the Methodist Church of South India printed some pages out of my series of missions NIV book and distributed in their magazine to over 100,000 recipients on why they should use the King James Bible. 100,000 circulation? That's not bad to get into the Methodist Church's newsletter, is it? It might become Independent Baptist one day. We wish. Okay, so we have here, God is one God with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we have a few, as the Father tells the Son what to do, the Huios came into Mary to give Jesus. Remember what Gabriel said to Mary? That holy thing which shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Huios of God, Son of God. So Jesus is 100% God, the Huios, and 100% man. Agree? Okay, now some people say, how can Jesus be God when he died? Who ran the universe when Jesus died? Answer a fool according to his folly. This is how you answer it. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Now, does anybody here speak a second language? Which one?
Portuguese.
Okay, you speak Portuguese and you speak English. When you speak Portuguese, you operate through your Portuguese nature. When you speak English, you operate through your English nature. You have twin nature. You are 100% English or American and 100% Portuguese. Sometimes you operate through one by speaking Portuguese, other times you operate through other when you speak English. Now that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Sometimes Jesus operated through his human nature when he was hungry or thirsty or sleepy or did not know some things, like he did not know that the fig tree did not have figs, operating through his human nature. But other times Jesus operated through his God nature when he cursed that fig tree. When he walked on the water, when he healed every sick person, when he raised people from the dead, when he raised himself from the dead, when he blacked out the sun on the cross for 3 hours. That has been reported in history. Did you know that? That was the main topic of discussion for universities of the ancient world for the next 300 years. How could it be possible for four seemingly unrelated events all to happen at the same time? Those four events are 3 hours of pitch black darkness covering the earth so that the stars could be seen in the sky and candles had to be lit to see where you're going. Second was the curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom, a foot thick ripped from top to bottom. It took 300 priests to stitch it up. They'd be thinking, why? Event three was the earthquakes when Jesus died, and event four was Jesus' death. Four seemingly unrelated events which have no natural explanation. It was not an eclipse because the moon is on the opposite side of the earth when an eclipse occurs. So it was in Passover full moon, so it was not an eclipse. What was it? God blacked out the sun for 3 hours. And that is the explanation why it's 3 days, 3 nights, and why Jesus died on a Friday. You got a shortened days and shortened night there, okay? So what we have here is Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. You like that? It's very, very good. Now, there's another sheet, but I won't give you the sheet now because I don't want to burden the photocopying people in this institution. But it's in here. And we have a few. What we do is we reinforce this by looking at some verses in the Old Testament. If you want to make a note of... It's chapter number, oh, it's the Son of God in the Old Testament, okay? And we look at a few verses. Proverbs, can you think of any verses in the Old Testament which talk about the Son of God? First one is Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? If you can tell, if thou canst tell. So this is God the Creator. What's his son's name? Ooh, Jesus, Son of God. Son of God became Jesus. So Solomon believed that God has a son, Mr. Muslim, who thinks Solomon's a prophet. And then what about David, Prophet David? Did he think God has a son? Psalm 2:12, kiss the son lest he be angry. David tells people when Jesus comes back, kiss the son, which is a Middle Eastern custom, isn't it? Showing respect, honour, welcome. So God has a son, David says. Daniel 3:25, we've seen that one about the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Daniel believed, that, and so did Nebuchadnezzar, that there was a God, the Son in the Son of God, in that picture there. Then number six is Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, that's the human Jesus. Unto us a son is given. Notice the son is not born, is it? Is he? The son is what? Yes. Given from heaven. So this is Jesus' deity, his God part, being fully a prophecy of Jesus being 100% God and 100% man. And it says, that's his first coming. Second coming, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. That means miracle worker, counselor, teacher. The mighty God. Wow, that means he's God. The everlasting Father means Father of eternity. The Prince of Peace. Muhammad was Prince of War. Jesus, Prince of Peace. Okay, next one, number seven, which is Micah 5:2. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible because it explains the function of the Son. Let's think of it. And I have five questions to ask you. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, a little village, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that shall be ruler in Israel, the second coming, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, out of thee shall he come forth to me. Who is he and who is me? Who is he that came forth out of Bethlehem? The Son of God, who was born into Jesus. And who is me talking? God the Father. So here is one verse where you have God the Father and God the Son talking to each other or about each other. There's at least 20 of those in this book here, in the Trinity chapter. Next question, it says, whose goings forth have been from of old? Goings forth. What does goings forth mean? What does goings forth mean? Is it, sorry? More than that, it means that this is defining the function of the Son, of the Huios. The Huios is the part of God that goes out from God to visit people in the physical universe. And is it plural or singular, goings forth? Plural, because there's many, 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 many goings out of the Son into the universe. And it says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And the word everlasting means that the Huios is God, because only God is everlasting. Now, I want to just, if you were, think for a second, if you were God, never going to happen, but if you were God, you would be able to project a part of yourself to an infinite number of points in space, at an infinite number of points in time, to visit an infinite number of people. And God does this through the Huios. Wow, that means God can send a part of himself to visit any person, any place, any time. And God does that through the Huios. And the great thing is that the Huios came into Mary to become a man, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You like that? Love it. Seems chill. Next one, Isaiah 48, 12, 13, and 16. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he, I am the first, I am the last. Who is me? First and last is God. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth. Who laid the foundation of the earth? God. My right hand to span the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. Who is me? God, the creator of earth and the universe. Verse 16, come ye near unto me. Who is me? God. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time it was there am I. And now the Lord God and his spirit has sent me. Who is the Lord God? The Father. Who is his spirit? Holy Spirit. Who is me that was sent? The Son of God. But hang on, didn't we just see in verse 12 and 13 that me is God? Yes, but it's the Son of God talking in both verses. The Son of God in verse 12 and 13 is talking about his first great work of creating the earth and the universe. Verse 16, the Son of God is talking about his second great work of incarnation, being sent by the Father and the Holy Spirit into Mary to give Jesus. Get it? Only smart people get that one. And then you've got Exodus chapter 3 that speaks about the angel Lord appearing to Moses in a burning bush. And it says in verse 3, it's 2, it's the angel of the Lord. But in verse 4, he's identified as when the Lord, that's Jehovah, saw he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I, draw not near, it's holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon who? God. And he says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Come down sounds like goings forth, doesn't it? Going forth from heaven is the same as coming down to earth. Agree? And so you think, this could be the huios. And you go down to verse 13 and 14, Moses asked the question to God. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, what? And they shall say, what is his name? What will I say? God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So what is God's name here? I am. I am means God is unchangeable, God is eternal. Having said that, what we do, we look at the New Testament now. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, terrible, shock. What do the Jews do? Pick up stones to stone Jesus. Why? Because they concluded that he was claiming to be Jehovah God who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And he was claiming to be the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob who led Israel out of Egypt. And it was too much. They couldn't believe it, so they tried to stone him. But Jesus moved away. And in verse John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, he is not in the Greek. It's italicized. You shall die in your sins. This says, if you want to go to heaven, you have to believe Jesus is I am Jehovah God. I say, Mr. Muslim, do you believe Jesus Christ is Jehovah God? He says, yes, I do. Okay, I've got a question for you, Mr. Muslim. If you were to die tonight or whenever, do you know 100% for sure if you go to heaven? No. I say, would you like to be sure? Yes. Okay, Bible explains how to go to heaven, but the Bible's a big book. Bible has four things in that explain how to go to heaven, and they are summarised in this piece of paper. Would you look at this, open this up and turn it inside out? Now, I'm not going to do it now because I've done it. Look at the YouTube lesson, answers called lesson 7, and follow this. You've got the questions to ask, and this is exactly what I go through, and we trained about 80 people in our church to use this presentation, and they are quite competent at using this presentation. Some are better than others, but they at least know how to do it, and we give everybody in our church a folder, and we give them sheets to put in the folder. We have the basic Bible certificate, so when they learn a subject, they put a date, so I know what they've learned and they know what they've learned. Without that, I wouldn't have a clue who's done what. Okay? So, make sense? Any questions? Look at that YouTube Answers course, and lessons 1 to 7 is exactly word for word what I think you should understand and be able to do. And we've had, I don't talk about this much, but we've had, praise God, just on 1,700 Muslims saved. And can I tell you one insane story? This is weird. It's so incredible. I almost fell off my chair when I heard it. December 2015, we had just on 50 ex-Muslims baptized. And one of the guys decided to have a video of himself. He's got his mate to video him getting baptized. And he put the video on YouTube. And he had the Iranian flag with Allah symbol being cut off and chucked off the flag on the video. And then it showed him getting baptized. And then he had the Iranian flag with no Allah, and he had the cross come on the flag. And he said, my aim is for the Islamic Republic of Iran to be changed to the Christian Republic of Iran. Anyhow, I said, fantastic. Anyhow, a week later, there's a guy called Man Monis who saw that video, and he was a terrorist. And he was filled with insane anger and rage, and he took he had a siege in the Lindt Cafe in Martin Place in Sydney. Did you hear about that? Maybe not. Anyhow, two people got shot dead. And before it happened, one of the persons said, why are you taking us captives? He said, because I've seen what Christians are doing in helping Muslims become Christians. I'm going to show the world what dedicated Muslims do in taking you people as captives and showing my zeal for Islamic State. And this came out in the police report, but it was not in the fake media. And instead, our people said, it's on the Balochistan website of Iran. And it was in Farsi. Now, I can't read Farsi, but numbers of people saw it and they said, that's exactly what happened. And they said, so really, we baptized over 1,000 Muslims, probably about 1,200, praise God. And this was this guy getting baptized in his video led to the terrorist attack. Now, it wasn't my fault, the terrorist attack, so don't blame me. It's just the nature of Islam. So we have a serious problem and we have a window of time to fix the Muslims, and they are victims. You've got to use this presentation. I promise you it works, but just do it, do it, do it. And what you do is you come to a Muslim, be Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, I've been studying the Quran. I've got a few questions. May I ask you some questions? He thinks, oh, he wants to become a Muslim. And you know the questions to ask, and he becomes a Christian. Amen? Amen. And you should see their faces light up when they become Christian. Yeah. Oh, you've never seen anything like it. It's so encouraging. I'll do it till the day I die when I see such excitement on the face of Muslims, from being depressed Muslims to happy Christians. And they said to me, Pastor, I've got a question. This is after saved. When can I get baptized? Straight away. And I say, bring your friends. And they bring their friends. Sorry for taking so much time. I hope that you got the excitement of the opportunities. But it works. And Donald Trump should use this program and he'd solve his Muslim problem. Give Donald Trump one of these books. Okay? Thank you, dear friends. I'll pass it back to our dear brother, Bushy.